Lecture 8, Social Darwinism and Eugenics.
Hello, and welcome back. We've been talking mostly about science in these lectures, but this particular science, as we all know, had profound social implications. Those social implications came forth not too long after Darwin published his ideas. They came forth in the late 1800s and blossomed in the early 1900s. Under the general rubric or term, social Darwinism. Actually, this term, social Darwinism, was coined by its critics, but it gained currency even by its proponents during the Victorian era as a catch-all phrase to identify various utilitarian philosophies and policies that attributed human progress to unfettered competition among individuals. It's the basic core of the idea. Well, valuing competition as a great good fit the spirit of the day, and it predated Darwinian biology. Think back of your philosophy. In the late 1700s, Adam Smith argued that economic progress depended on individual initiative, not governmental regulation, not social networks, individual initiative. Now, his faith in the natural harmony of human interactions gave him hope that all people would benefit from laissez-faire capitalism. This is unfettered capitalism. This is unregulated capitalism. The name that's associated with it was laissez-faire. Well, embracing the laissez-faire, by 1800, Thomas Malthus, who we've already heard quite a bit about, Malthus noted that due to natural limits on resources, there would be losers as well as winners in any social competition. This set him off somewhat from Adam Smith. But yet, he embraced the theory. He embraced the idea. He recognized that there'd be losers, but he saw this struggle for existence as fostering the general good by weeding out the weak. And as painful as this might be to some, in the long run, this was for the best. Well, as we've seen, Malthus's thinking inspired Darwin to conceive of natural selection as the engine for biological evolution. And he held off, he inspired him, what, in the late 1830s, he held off from publishing for several years until 1858. But showing how much this fit the spirit of the day, even before Darwin published his ideas and generally announced them, other thinkers began catching up with him. Beginning in the early 1850s, the very influential English philosopher Herbert Spencer popularized a Malthusian view of individual and group competition. Indeed, he's the one, even before Darwin, he's the one who coined the term survival of the fittest that was later so much associated with Darwinian thinking. And he hailed the struggle for survival and the survival of the fittest as the only sure foundation for human progress. Now, Herbert Spencer was mostly a thinker of existing populations of people. He wasn't talking about animals in general, or evolution of plants and all organic species. He was talking about how the human races, how people progress. Well, with the advent of Darwinianism in biology, Spencer's views on social development became known as social Darwinism rather than, say, social Spencerianism or something like that. Even though Darwin did not fully, at least publicly, endorse them, though privately he inclined those directions, he stayed out of a lot of those debates. Spencer continued to write, and many people would characterize him as the most influential philosopher in the English-speaking world during the late 1800s, and yet the ideas are called social Darwinism. Probably because biology carried so much credibility, and tying them to biology rather than just the social sciences gave them more credibility in their own areas.